I plan to be short today. Unless Christine comes up here, then it'll get long-winded. Mark 9:23. Y'all gonna have to bear with me. This getting old is no fun. I've thought for sure I put my little glasses. I gotta leave a pair here. I mean, I'm getting to the point now. I don't buy the reading glasses one pair at a time. I buy three at a time. And now I've started buying 2-3 packs at a time so I don't run out. But I didn't leave. I need to leave a pair at the church, honestly. Well, my mother-in-law, thank you. These will work. Hey, all right. My mother-in-law usually gives me a pink pair. She shames me. She's always got plenty of them. I've worn some green ones and some purple ones and look like Elton John. Sorry if I hurt somebody's little feelings. Mark 9:23. Just that scripture, I mean, it has, Jesus is healing somebody in a very serious, with a very serious condition, but Jesus says this: if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe. Have you ever wanted to believe something? Have you ever wanted to believe something really bad? Have you ever been, now let's take it way deeper. Have you ever been about to pray for somebody and struggling with whether you believe God can do that or not? You know what we deal with a lot is our humanness. As believers, I have to deal with my humanness a lot. Because your humanness will contradict what the Spirit is saying. Your flesh. You know, we can't look holier than the next person because it doesn't work. Because here's the thing about, we can dress it, Billy calls it churching it up. But, and I love that term, but your spirit and your flesh, they're like two little guys that hate each other and they're always going to fight. It's always going to end up in a scrap. And one of them's always going to win. I'd like to say in my life that the spirit man always wins. Can I tell you he doesn't? Can I tell you he's fully equipped to? That's what makes it sad. That's what really makes it sad. I watched my son. Is he? Did he go in the back? Is he in the back? Good. I've learned after raising three of them, don't put them on the spot too much in public. But I watched him play basketball yesterday, and they do these skills training before the game, which is great. But this was a new league that he's in, so I'm not one of those dads that coaches from the stands, but I do watch my son. I do watch other players. I want to see what the competition is because I want him to be pushed. I want him to be pushed. And there was a kid that was as tall as me. Not that I'm tall, but compared to Walker, I'm really tall. And the kid, the skills were not the same at all. And Walker had very advanced skills, but the other kid, that's why I didn't want to stay in front of him, the other kid scored more baskets because in the practices he couldn't even make the layup, but he was smart enough to do this. If I run in, I'll get fouled. And in this league, if you get fouled while you're shooting, the first basket scores automatically. Then you go to the line for one shot. So this kid made so many baskets because all he would do is just plow his way in and Walker wouldn't. Whap! It was pretty awesome. And he blocked him. He blocked a couple shots, but he fouled too. So that was, every time, it's a penalty. That's a point and a basket. A point and an opportunity. And I just told him afterwards, I said, son, one thing that kid had on you was his height. That was it. That's all he had. But you let him take, I said, what did he do with it? He said, he used it, Dad. He used it. He used his height. See, it bothers me when someone is equipped to win and they don't win. I don't want you to think I'm a bad dad and I get on him and I, rah, 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 rah. No, it wasn't that. I just wanted to see. Son, you could have done this. You could have done this. I want him to improve. Don't you know that the Holy Spirit, that the Bible says this about the Lord. It says, he chastens the one he loves. This is what I love about God, is that people mistake it all the time. They think he's calling me out. There he goes, calling me out again. I go to church and God's just calling me out, or the preacher's just down on me. God doesn't call us out. He calls us up.
Amen.
Don't mistake it. And if he privileges you by calling you up, it's only because he loves you. I've had the Lord cut the carpet out from under me enough times so I should know better by now. But you know what I've learned to do? Thank you, Lord. This is you loving me. And I was going to add this on last week when I was talking about, let me just say it because I might forget it. And there it went. No, I'm just kidding. I gave it a second. It did almost go. It did almost. I caught it by his toenail. There was a fellow that he said he was talking to the Lord, and things were going rough. I mean, rough, really rough for him in his life. He hit one of those low spots. You ever hit one of them low spots? You ever hit one of those low spots as a believer, and you start asking God, where are you? And he said this. He wasn't just asking God where he was. He said this, God, I thought you loved me. Have you ever had that conversation with God? God, I thought you loved me. You know what he said? This is how I knew he was hearing from the Lord, because this sounds like the Lord. He said, the Lord said right back to him, this is me loving you. You think you can hit God sometimes? You ever feel like I'm a hit God right here? I'm gonna say something to it. God's gonna get all. He's gonna give me all of his attention because I said something really smart. And God, he said, God, I thought you loved me. He was appealing to a softer side of God. God said, this is me loving you. Can you say thank you, Lord, for the times when he was loving you? You just weren't feeling it. You just weren't recognizing it. But the Holy Spirit, it's never weak. He's never incapable. And just because he lives inside of you does not diminish his power. So when your flesh wins, it's because you did not obey the Spirit. That's simple as it gets. It's simply profound. It's profoundly simple. That's the thing. I did not obey. He spoke, but I did not obey. What did I say last week about the Holy Spirit? I said this, the privilege of the Holy Spirit is that he speaks to us. The benefit of the Holy Spirit comes when we obey what he said. Privilege and benefit are two separate things. Otherwise, it would just be an entitlement. The Holy Spirit said it. I get to walk in it because Jesus loves me, this I know. Now, Jesus loves you. No mistake. Jesus died for you. But he expects obedience. And he doesn't care how much you sacrifice, because your obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice all you want to. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Because, you know why I said that? Because otherwise we would be able to leverage our sacrifice. That's good. He doesn't put a lot into your sacrifice. Your sacrifice isn't a representation of your understanding. What you understand about it. He's worthy of all my sacrifice. But if your sacrifice really held some bearing, then you could use it as leverage in his kingdom, and you can't. How many have ever said, well, God, you know I did this. God, you know I gave up this. You know I could have been singing on stage in Nashville, God, but I decided to sing at this little church for you instead. That's such a horrible example. But people do that. They'll try to leverage performance when this thing isn't based on performance. Well, it is. It's just not your performance, it's his. I better preach. I better go to the benediction on that one. Benediction. That's a good word right there. It's something that happens at the end. Mark 9:23. Will you bring that back up, please, Deanna? Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He's basically saying this. Here's the bar. If you can do this, you'll get that. All things are possible to him who believes. And the word believes right there is actually this. He who believes and continues to believe. Believes and keeps believing. He didn't say it's a bell that you ring. It's a one time, it's a one and done thing. I believe and then it's done. He wants you to believe and keep believing. Why? Because time is in his hands, not in yours. If time was in your hands, then you could just ring the bell, believing that good night, look at there. What a magician I am. I believe. There it is. That's my miracle. Now you believe and keep believing as time goes, still believe that God is able and he will in his time and it'll be right. Amen. Amen. I also talked to you about last week about going past faith and going past hope. And it's not some crazy doctrine that I've come up with. It's not a heresy. It's just the way it is. There is something that goes past faith. Faith is the bedrock. By you are saved by grace through faith. It's how your salvation works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is an amazing thing, and I love to preach faith. I believe in faith. I mean, I believe it's all based on faith, but there's another level. And Paul said this, he said, I'm convinced. I am persuaded. I am convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And he went into describing that to include all things, life, death, principality. Nothing will separate us. Anything at all. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. He said, I'm convinced of that. That's past faith. That's past hope. I'll prove it to you. Interjected into the sentence. I have faith that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Wonderful. But I've had that kind of faith fail before. You know, when it fails is when we start asking God, where are you? Well, I have faith that nothing will separate me from the love of God. But God, where are you? Well, that faith just... it took a shot right then. Well, what about hope? Well, let's do the same thing with hope. I hope that nothing will separate me from the love of God. If I started preaching that to y'all, y'all would be like, it'd be fingernails all on. Sorry, I told y'all, I warned you. There'd be fingernails. I mean, I hope that nothing will separate me from the love of God. That doesn't sound too hopeful, does it? Doesn't sound very convincing, does it? But when Paul said this, he wasn't talking about everybody. He was talking about himself. He said, I am persuaded, I am convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God. And I said this, a man with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. What is your experience? What is it? Your experience matters. Can you say that? My experience matters, right? My experience, what I've been through matters. I don't think God's going to get a whole lot of glory in your life through what God did in my life. See, you got to believe that God can redeem everything I've been through for him to get glory. That's why I want to say this. I want you to be delivered from low expectations. I truly do. I want myself to be delivered from low expectations. That's only going to come through understanding. But to understand that God does not lose. God always wins. Here's the thing. I said that what you have gone through is important. You need to begin to believe on the level of your past experiences. In other words, this. What have you come upon in your life that God did not get you through? You need to believe on the level of your past experiences. Has God ever forsaken you? No. Did you think he might? Yeah. Have you ever thought he wasn't there? Yes, that's human. Have you ever thought, God, do you love me? I know you used to love me. Do you still love me? I thought you loved me. Can he love you? Can you let God love you through difficulties? Knowing that it's going to produce something. We talked about patience last week. About patience being produced. Why? Why did we say that we needed to be patient? Because the enemy's patient, right? Whatever you felt during the worship song, the enemy will wait till you don't feel that feeling no more. Till that thing's faded out. However you felt whenever the preacher laid his hands on you and prayed for you, the devil will be patient and wait. And wait, and wait. Here's the thing about the enemy. While God is trying to teach you patience through hardships, has God ever taught you anything through hardships? I'm looking for hands. Have you ever resisted that teaching from God? That laugh means, oh, yeah, that's what I... But we could all do that, right? We've resisted while God was trying to teach us something that would end up teaching us patience. You know what the enemy is doing while God is trying to teach us something that produces patience? The enemy, while he's trying to teach us patience, the enemy is simply having patience. While we're struggling, saying, God, I thought you loved me. And he's trying to tell you, this is me loving you. The enemy's over there just. I have another Sprite. But only be about 5 more minutes. He's just being patient. He's waiting for you to get real weak so he can come in like a flood. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You know why it's the Spirit of the Lord that raises up the standard? Because you can't. Not strong enough. We fool ourselves. We fool ourselves. We get too holy. My dad used to say to people, he said, son, you got to be careful. You don't try to stand up so tall that you fall backwards. It's just old country, I'm telling you. Made a lot of sense, though. Try to stand up so straight, you fall over backwards. To be delivered from low expectations. I believe God has feelings. I don't believe they're like ours. And I don't think that God gets completely worn out with us. Because his mercies are everlasting and they endure. They endure. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for that long suffering that he has? Suffers a long time with me. But here's the thing. It's painful to be doubted. Right? From a child, my little boy. Man, he talks basketball so much till it wears people out. I'm like, son, we got to change the subject. Even his friends, they'll be like, oh, he's going to talk basketball again. But one of his big deals was, hey, I can touch the net now. Now, if y'all remember when you could finally touch the net, not the rim, not dunking the ball, just touching the net. I can tell you, at 12 years old, that's a huge thing. But you know what would break his heart? Is if I doubted that he could touch the net. Because he can touch it, but he doesn't touch it every time. And sometimes his jump is off just a little bit. And I see he would have touched it, but he missed it. And if I say, son, see there, I knew you couldn't touch it. Dad of the year, right? I haven't done that. I'm not going to do that. Just encourage him. You can touch it. You can, because it's painful for someone to doubt you. I don't know how God looks at that. I know he's patient with us. But doubt is not your friend when it comes to spiritual things. And you need to release yourself from doubting. Doubting does not ever advance you. Doubting holds you back. I don't want to be captive to those things that hold me back, that keep me from moving forward in the Lord. I want that chain to be broken. I want you to be delivered from low expectations from a God who is almighty. Christine, will you come? Am I speaking to anybody this morning? It's your perspective. Your perspective. Deanna, pull that scripture up. John 8:32. Very simple scripture. Our perception is simply the lens that we see things through. It doesn't mean it's right, but it's right enough for me to believe in it. But you can't just go with your perspective, because your perspective is not always the truth. Why? You got to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It'll make you free when you know what the truth is and not accept anything less. Can you say, I don't want to accept anything less than God's truth in my life? Can you say that? I don't want to accept anything less than God's truth in my life. Can you say that one more time? I don't want. Now let's just change it by a word. I'm not going to accept anything less than God's word, God's truth in my life, because his word is truth. I want you delivered. Low expectations. Low expectations don't have a place in here. Not for a God who says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you could ask or think. I've preached this before. I'll just say it real quick. It would have been enough if we could really believe for that scripture to say, but he's able to do more than we can ask or think. But that's not how it's written. So that we got the full understanding. The man that penned that said, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more, above what you can ask or think. It is time for doubt to be out of your life. His word is true or it's not. Amen. It's not a gray area. It's not a sometimes, well, yeah, and sometimes. Gee, I hope that God's in a good mood today. I've heard people open up. Y'all pray for us. This afternoon, we're going to have a big practice with our worship team. Christine's having a big practice. And worship belongs to God. And what they do is going to set the stage for you to receive the word. You need to pray for our practices. You need to pray for the people on this worship team. And you need to pray for those that make decisions. And I'm going to give you something. I love singing songs. I love singing songs that other people have written. But I also believe that God inspires people to write out of this group. There's songs to be sang that are going to be put in your heart, but there, I believe there's songs to be sung in this room that are already on paper somewhere. Whatever that looks like, we're open to that. Our praise and our worship before him matters. Matters a lot, and he's worthy. I want our best to come forth. I don't want to see you held back. I don't want to be held back. I want to be delivered from doubt. Amen? Amen. Could you just make that your prayer right now? God, deliver me from doubt. Anything's possible if I can believe. So if the bar is to believe, God, I believe. I'm not just going to believe one time. I'm going to believe and continue to believe, and I'm going to see it happen. God, help me to live on the level of my past experiences in you. When I've trusted in you, God, you've always come through. Help me to live on that level, that whatever is facing me now is going to be like what you've already brought me through. I'm going to be victorious through you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Will you speak over yourself right now? God, deliver me from doubt. Deliver me from doubt. Take doubt out of my mind. I don't want to ever doubt you again, God. I've doubted you before. I don't ever want to doubt you again. Change my perspective to truth. Lord, your word says, I'll know the truth, and your truth will make me free. It'll make me free from doubting. It'll make me free from questioning. It'll make me free from wondering if you love me, from wondering if you still care about me, from wondering. I'll go from wondering to knowing. I'll know the truth, and I'll be free. I'll be set free. God, let your people be set free. Let nothing bind them up or hold them back. Lord, it was your idea to deliver your people through Moses. When you showed him that burning bush and when you spoke out of that burning bush, you had deliverance in mind from that point. God, you'll do that away when we, you'll do that for us when we strip away everything that would stand between us and you, God. When we get our feet on holy ground, where we go from there, we'll be following you into your plan of deliverance in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name. Can you just say, in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. I'm free. I'm free in Jesus' name. Jesus, you are the truth. I'm free in Jesus' name.